So today we are finishing our series titled Predicting Your Future. So by now this is a three-part series, and if you've missed the past couple of weeks or didn't get a chance to check them out, please go online, vineyard05.com, and that will get you up to speed, and then you'll be where the rest of us are at by knowing what lies ahead of us, because we all now can predict our futures. Not really, but we can have a better understanding. Because what we've been talking about here is that our direction in life determines our destination. And we all have chapters in our lives and destinations of things and goals that we want to meet, that have destinations in our lives that we want to accomplish. And the decisions that we made in the past, we found out, determined where we are at currently, whether good or bad. And what we're doing currently can give us an idea of where we're heading in the future. Jesus said, if you listen to these words of mine and do them, you will be wise. Like a person who built his house on solid ground, when the storms came, the house stood strong. So basically, when we listen to the words of Jesus and do them, our lives will be on solid ground so that when the storms of life come, Jesus can help us navigate through those storms and come out better on the other end. And then also, last week what we found out is following Jesus, when we choose to follow Jesus, He doesn't fix all of our problems, He doesn't make every bad thing in our lives go away, but what He does do is point us in a direction that will give us a better life. We begin to drop things out of our lives that are hindrances. We begin to change things in our lives that may be holding us back or that might not line up with Scripture. And so what Jesus does is He offers us a better way to live. But along with that is a more challenging way to live. You see, following Jesus is a challenge. Reading the Scriptures are a challenge because what happens is it begins to reveal to us what is on the inside of us, what's actually in our hearts. And maybe we don't like what the Scriptures are revealing to us about ourselves. And so we reject what we're reading. Instead of accepting the challenge, we reject it and we move on with our lives. And it might be easier at first, but sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. When you accept the challenges of Jesus, when you accept the challenges of Scripture, and you say, you know what, I need to cut that out of my life. I need to stop doing this. I need to stop acting like this. You will be better for it. You will be following Jesus, and your life will be better for it. And so today, we're going to end this series by talking about that appetite that we have within us that can take us down a good path or a bad path, because the Scriptures reveal who we are on the inside, and what appeals to us will reveal to us where our appetites lie. That's why today's sermon is appealing, is revealing. So what kind of an appetite am I talking about? Well, an appetite of following the Scriptures, following the Holy Spirit, or following our sinful nature. You know, there's only two places we're going to end up when it's all said and done with: heaven or hell. And the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. So you can accept the challenge that He has for you, and it might hurt and sting at first, but in the end, it's eternal life in heaven. So I would rather just take that challenge. But today we're going to look at something that we all have in common. Every single one of us in this room have in common. I'll bet you can relate to this. When you think of some of the worst decisions you've made in your life, I bet you can say, yep, they were emotionally driven. I made those decisions out of an emotional reaction or an emotional appeal to something. You know, for instance, maybe you found yourself in a relationship that wasn't the best to be in. Maybe you went on this huge spending spree and now you've got a racked up credit card, and not only do you have to pay that off, but you have to pay it off with interest. Maybe you got caught up in something that was fun, and now it has become an issue in your life that you can't let go of. But what happens is, something or someone was once appealing, and we begin following it, and now we're stuck in life going, how did I let myself wind up in this place? How did I get off the path that I was on? You know, we're all on this path in life, and this is that we've been talking about, that tension in life, right? I have this path that I'm on. I want to follow Jesus. I want to listen to his voice. I have goals in life that I want to accomplish. I'm heading down this direction, and then something is appealing, and it takes us off that path. And we begin making decisions that aren't the best for us, and we're off that path. And now we have this tension, this inner tension going on, this conflict going on. Number one is, how did I allow myself to get over here? And how do I get back on track, back on the path that I need to be on? And that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to look at a passage in the book of Galatians. You can go there now if you want. It's in chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. This is a book that was written by a guy named Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Paul went all around the Mediterranean area establishing churches, and then he wrote letters to them. And most of these letters pertained with issues within that church. And so we can take these letters, they all pertain to us. But the passage in this letter here talks about our sinful nature and how we fall victim to it, as opposed to listening to God's Holy Spirit and following it down a path that is better for us. Remember, it's all about a direction in life. Who are we following? Are we following Jesus? Are we following God's Holy Spirit? Or are we following our own desires, our own sinful nature? And this passage really is the biblical definition of that tension that we deal with. And so my hope and prayer today is that somebody in here says, aha, that is what I need to help me get back on track in life. So let's go ahead and turn here, Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 13, and we're going to read all the way to 22, I think it is. But all right, verse 13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. That law is the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote. There's a story in the Gospels where a guy came up to Jesus and said, what is the most important thing that I need to know about all the Scriptures? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, everything you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself. The entire Bible and how we're supposed to live can be summed up in those two sentences. So that's what Paul is saying here to the church in Galatia. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these, just in case I didn't get my point across. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Bless you. So let's go back to verse 13 through 15 here. When we reach out to Jesus and invite him into our lives, we are now living under his lordship, and there is freedom in that. I know the world would tell you that the word lordship and freedom really don't go hand in hand. But when I invite Jesus into my life and I say, Jesus, you are the Lord of everything, everything in my life I give to you, you can have it all. And Jesus says, everything I have is for you. I will pour it all into you. You see, Jesus is a king, and he is the Lord over our lives. But he is not a king who rules over us. He is a king who serves us. And that is where we find that freedom. There's grace, there's mercy, there's unconditional love, and there is forgiveness that comes with Jesus, so that I know that no matter how bad I mess up, and I'm gonna mess up, I can come to Jesus and he will show me what I need to do. He will forgive me. He will clean me up. He will make me feel better. He will tell me what I need to do if it's an offense to another person. And there is freedom in that. There is freedom in that forgiveness that comes with having him as the leader of my life, as the king and the Lord of my life. Because our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. When we ask Jesus into our lives, he says, follow me, I will show you a better life. I need you, Jesus. I am so messed up. Would you please help me? He says, yeah, absolutely. I've been waiting for this day. And everything is clean. The slate is wiped clean. But we're going to mess up. And there's freedom in that. But there's a little warning that goes along with that. And it says, basically, do not take that freedom for granted. Do not think that because you are free to live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because there's freedom in there, do not think that you can do whatever you want and expect forgiveness to be given to you unconditionally all the time, anytime you want it. Do not take that for granted. See, we are to live like Jesus lives. We are to love unconditionally the way Jesus loves us unconditionally. As a believer and a follower of Jesus, I know that he will forgive me of everything that I've done, every mess up that I do. But how dare I hold somebody to a higher standard in my life than Jesus holds me? See what I'm saying? We have to love others the way Jesus loves us. That's how we share his love with others. And to put this into a little bit of today's context, since we're all social media people and we do most of our communication via devices, to love somebody else the way that Jesus loves me means that my opinion on hot button topics isn't the most important thing to get out there. What it means is that if we are not in, what it means is that unconditional love speaks volumes. It means that I need to listen to the other person. Let's have a face-to-face conversation about things. But when I put the other person first, I validate their stance on an issue. Because when I look at Facebook, I don't see anybody asking my opinion on things. But I have the freedom to just tell everybody else how it needs to be, right? If you look at my Facebook page, I really try not to do that. I don't think there's enough puppies I can share. But isn't that how we've become as a society? And also, when I look at the arguments on Facebook, I have yet to see somebody say, thank goodness for insulting me so much. You've changed my mind on this topic. When we love others unconditionally as Jesus loves us, and we are intentional about this, we begin to share the love that Jesus has. You see, when we are not intentional about it and our sinful nature takes over, this is what Paul warned the Galatians about, and it's the same with us. If you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. You're going to destroy one another. And you know that this has crept into the church. Letting the Holy Spirit guide our lives means that we are in sync with the internal, ever so gentle whisper of the Father's voice, the Holy Spirit. God's whisper will always nudge us to put the other person first. He will always nudge us to sacrificing for the sake of the other person. God will always nudge us towards never, ever, ever infringing upon the freedom of the validity of somebody else and sacrificing ours first. It's the Holy Spirit within us that says, listen to them. Give them validity on where they stand. And if they ask, then go ahead and share your opinion. But if they're not asking, I just nod my head and say, amen, you're right. Maybe you are right. Maybe you're not. But here's something else about that. What I just said does not mean that we put up with the abuse of somebody else. It does not mean that we put up with the blatant disrespect from somebody else. It does not mean that we allow somebody to treat us as a doormat. I say, why are you hanging around those people if they're treating you like that? Find another group of people to hang out with. But it does mean that we are intentional on putting other people first. And if you struggle with this, if you know, you're just like, you know what, I really wish I could do this, but the next thing I know, I'm trying to bring the words back as they're coming out of my mouth. You ever have those moments? I do. And I'm like, oh. But here's what I do. You know what I do? I think about and I meditate on the sacrifice that Jesus did for me on the cross. I think about that. Because when Jesus had his arms stretched out and nailed to that cross, he had the weight of the world, past, present, and future, the sins of the weight of the world on him. There isn't a person on this earth that can imagine the kind of spiritual weight that was. Not only that, but the physical agony and the mental agony that he was dealing with. For instance, we always show the nail through his hands, but it was through his wrist. This will give you something. Here's how much Jesus loves us. You know what's at the end of your wrist? That nerve that we call the funny bone. So when those spikes went through his wrists, and when he was up there like that, in agony, he had each one of us on his mind. And he was also able to forgive everybody who nailed him on that cross, right? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Maybe the person you're talking with is so out of touch with reality, and you're sitting there, you're trying to argue them back to reality. Just say to yourself, you know what? It's okay. You know what? What they think about this is okay. It's not worth upsetting somebody else with where they're at, and it's not worth destroying a friendship because of something that really doesn't matter to begin with. Amen? And so we have this inner conflict. You know, so what we do is we choose to see people through the eyes of Jesus. That's what I do. And it helps me understand maybe where they're coming from, or maybe why they hold the viewpoints that they have, or maybe why they have the values that they have. Because when we see people through the eyes of Jesus, we'll pick up on things. Maybe something happened to them growing up. Maybe it was their environment growing up. Maybe it was just, you know, something that has them holding the views that they have. Whatever it is, it's not worth destroying the relationship over. For me, it's not. God's Holy Spirit within us and our sinful nature are constantly fighting each other. And we have to be intentional on choosing love. If Jesus is going to forgive me of everything, then I need to forgive everybody around me of everything. If Jesus is going to love me no matter how stupid I get sometimes, I need to love others no matter how goofy they are. It's this inner conflict that tells us it's okay to do something I know I shouldn't do. It's our sinful nature. It's our emotions. It's that appealing part of us that will always be there. But the next thing we know, we're dealing with the consequences of a decision we know we should have never made. And just so you know, this inner conflict has been going on since the very beginning of time. Adam and Eve, their first two sons, Cain and Abel, kind of a famous story. Cain got jealous of his brother Abel, so jealous that he wanted to kill him. So God picks up on this, and he has a little conversation with Cain. And he says to Cain, "If you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you." Genesis chapter 4. If you refuse to do what is right, watch out. This, he's telling this to Cain, but this is for all of us. I remember when I first read this many, many years ago, I was like, oh, so it's always going to be there. Every time I leave the house, it's going to follow me around. Eager to destroy me, sin is, our sinful nature. And what did Cain do? He rejected the voice of God and went and killed his brother. So this inner conflict is nothing new. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, ugh, I struggle with this so bad. I just, nobody knows. And I, oh, it kills me. Ugh. You're in good company. Everybody else deals with it too. We're just all in different places. But if we are intentional and choose to let God's Holy Spirit guide us through life and love others in the same way that Jesus loves us, we will know when that still, quiet voice of God's Holy Spirit is leading us to make a decision for the better. We won't lead with our emotions. We won't lead with our sinful nature. It will be the Spirit of God who is leading us through life. And that's the basis of this entire series. Our direction determines our destination. Who are you following? What are you following? Where is your appetite being fed from the most? Because I've said it before, we're all following something. And just in case you were wondering who or what you might be following, there was that nice little list of things in verse 19 where it starts out, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And he starts out to me, that I feel like there's some doozies, but these are things that we all struggle with. We all struggle with this stuff. And even if we've got lots of things in check, there's things that creep up every now and then. But then he goes into what I call like our everyday stuff. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy. Then he goes back to some big ones. But you know what? Let's just pick one of these. For the sake of staying relevant in today's society right now, and obviously I've already picked it, let's pick division. Let's just go there, all right? Because here's the thing, church. I really feel like God has been challenging me with the scriptures, and I feel like we are supposed to be challenged. You know, we got thrown off out of whack and everything back in March, and you know, things were spiraling out of control, and maybe we didn't know what to do, and we were just going through life, barely trying to make it happen, and all of this stuff. And really, during this lockdown period, where did most of us spend our time? Right? I mean, I spend a lot of time on my device too, so I'm preaching to myself here. But let's pick division, okay? And let's ask ourselves some questions. How am I at handling conversations with somebody who has a different political view than I do? How am I at treating somebody who has a different color of skin than I do, or is from a different country than I am? How am I at respecting somebody who does or does not wear a mask, or does not want to get the vaccine? How am I at loving others who have wronged me? These are questions that I believe are relevant in our society and especially in the church, where division has crept in because we no longer listen to the other person. We're always talking. And our nation has been on this slide of division between ideologies and people groups and everything else, and we're not listening to each other. We aren't putting the other person first. I've made up my mind that it really doesn't matter what I think unless somebody asks me. And if you want to know what I think, and if you're mature enough to handle it, we can have a conversation. But I'm not going to tell you what I think unless you ask. I find that that's a much better route to go, because it keeps me from saying stupid things and upsetting people that have different ideologies than I do, politically or whatever. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad either. I purposely picked division because, again, we are a nation divided. And what does the Bible say? Even non-believers know this one. A house divided will not stand. We may see division in this list of sinful things and think, well, that's not really a big deal. I don't see division as being a big deal. Well, it's in here. It's listed. So apparently there was some division going on in the church of Galatia, and it was deemed good enough to put in the book that stands the test of time for over 2,000 years now. And nothing new is under the sun, right? Nothing new happens. We go through cycles. Nations go through cycles. They rise, they fall, all of this stuff. Division, I think, is very important right now. But if these desires, or any like them, are a part of who we are because our sinful nature is drawing us to them, then we are living under the oppression of those desires. We have tethered ourselves to those desires because the next thing we know, we're under that desire and we can't get out from under it. It's an oppression. When we ignore the voice of God's Holy Spirit in allowing Him to lead us through life, we lose that freedom, because we're now tied to something that is keeping us from moving where God wants us to move. And then look at verse 21. Anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I read this for many years and I was like, oh gosh, you mean if I'm envious of somebody, I'm not going to go to heaven? If I'm jealous because they're doing really good in life, I'm not going to go to heaven? Really? Anybody in here never, ever get jealous of anything or envious or maybe get angry, might fly off the handle, you know, or things just catch you off guard and the next thing you know, just because one of those, I'm not going to go to heaven. Well, here's what I believe. This doesn't mean that we won't go to heaven. It says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. If our faith is in Jesus, and He has grace and mercy poured out upon us, then when we mess up, He's going to forgive us. And this is part of that freedom that we experience. But what it does mean is that we miss out on the blessing that comes from being under the covering of the kingdom of God. We miss that blessing because that blessing is an inheritance that we receive for following Jesus. And those around you get to experience a part of the kingdom of God that is within you because you have an inheritance from your heavenly Father who wants to bless you in life because you are listening to His voice, you are on the path that He intended you to be, and you are adhering to the Scriptures. When the disciples asked Jesus to pray, they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And He said, in the Lord's Prayer, most of us are all familiar with that. There's a line in there that says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So this is an inheritance that we receive while we are here on this earth. And then the outcome of this inheritance is the last verse, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we get to experience. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Isn't this what we've been chasing after all along? These kinds of characteristics to be poured into our lives? I want to be loved. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. Definitely want to have patience. Kindness, goodness, self-control. That's what we're chasing after when we call upon Jesus to come into our lives. And that's what people will see in us when we are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when you're causing division, or when you outbursts of anger, or when you have all these other sinful natures that people see in your life, when you leave the room, I bet they say things about your characteristics. For instance, nobody is going to say about Mike Kale when he leaves the room, "I really don't like being around that guy because he's always bubbling over with joy and he has so much peace that it drives me bananas." It just, ugh. You ever hear anybody say something like that? Or how about Kenyatta? How about Kenyatta Pinckney, who leads worship here? You'll never hear somebody say, "Whenever I'm around Kenyatta, she's such a gentle, sweet person. It just drives me bananas." They speak good of you when that is a part of the characteristics of who you are. And that's from listening to the voice of God. That's from walking in the Spirit and moving in that and not giving in to the appetite of the desires of our sinful nature. These right here are gifts from heaven that become a part of who we are when we are intentional on following Jesus as He points us to a better life. This right here is part of that inheritance of the kingdom of God. These characteristics come when we take the time to build our lives on solid ground. It doesn't happen overnight. But then we allow Jesus to become the Lord of our lives, and this is who we are. These are the things that people see in us. So I'll close up this series real quick with this. I pray that these past 3 weeks have been challenging and eye-opening. I pray that it's something that you wrestle with. I pray that it's something you talk to Jesus about. Because I pray that as we are confronted with things by the Holy Spirit, that we accept the challenge to make the change in order to inherit all that Jesus wants to pour into us. And most importantly, any changes that need to be made, they're not going to happen overnight. So don't get frustrated by that. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. He knows how long it's going to take as long as you're working towards it. Remember, you're not going to get anywhere if you just cry out to God and expect Him to do it for you. Move into it. Make a change. Do something. Because in due time, the Holy Spirit will pour the goodness of God into our lives in order to be the person that Jesus had intended us to be all along. so that we too can point people to Jesus as he invites others to follow him for a better life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for this. God, I thank you for challenging us. Being challenged isn't easy. Otherwise, we'd use a different adjective there. I pray, Lord God, that you have revealed some things to us that will help us make a change for the better, that will help us press into you, Lord God, to make a change for the better. I pray that nobody here rejects the voice of the Holy Spirit for things that they may see need changed, but that we accept that challenge and we listen to the ever so gentle voice of God's Spirit lead us towards a better life. I see right now in my mind, there are some of you right now that you're accepting the challenge and it is tough, but what I see is Jesus has his arm around you and he's walking you down this path. God, I bless that. As we move into a time of worship, God, I bless that. I pray that if you have to, pour your heart out to Jesus. Let him know, be honest with him. God, I struggle with this. This is hard for me. But I know you've got a better life for me. And I ask, Lord God, that you would speak to us clearly as we move into a time of worship. So we pray this in Jesus' name.